Testing, testing, hot outbound car. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Johnny here.
The Honeymooners Podcast. The only podcast that is all about the greatest show of all time. With the stars, Joe Conti and Louis Fats.
All right, howdy, fellow raccoons. Welcome, welcome. It's the second installment of the Honeymooners Podcast, the only podcast all about the greatest show of all time. I am Joe Conti, and this is my partner, Louis Fats.
I'm here.
That's right. He's on the air.
On the air.
That's right. And this is our second episode, and this episode will start to get into what we want to do with this podcast. Last week, number one episode, kind of give you an idea of why we're doing this.
Yes.
Why would we do a podcast about a show that hasn't been on the air for 65 years?
Exactly.
What is wrong with these two lunatics? These two,
nothing.
Yeah, there's nothing. Well, there's a lot wrong with us, but none of it has to do with this actual podcast. And I'm liking the fact that when I tell people, because as we're doing this episode, the show is just starting to come out now. So we're just starting to get some feedback from people that are finding out that we're doing this. And almost everybody is like, this is great. I can't wait to hear it. And I can't wait to disappoint every single one of them with my boring rendition of the greatest show of all time.
We're going to ruin it.
It's ruined.
We're gonna ruin it.
Yeah. So, like we said, last week, kind of let people know what was going on. And hopefully you'll really get a feel for what we want to do. Because like we were saying right before we went on, is that when you become such a big fan of a show, you really start to see, like you say, way beyond the bang zoom.
Exactly. You look in the background.
Yeah.
You look beyond the characters sometimes because we basically know what they're going to say.
Right.
Now, we still watch it because the delivery is impeccable.
Right.
And we still laugh.
Yeah.
But sometimes we just look beyond it just to see what's going on in the background.
Yeah. It's like being in love with, it's like being in with your mate and you're in love. It's not just about, hey, she's got great assets and she looks good and she's got beautiful eyes or he has great abs. It's what is behind the person. And we are all about what's behind the show. What is the little things that Art Carney would do, like when he wasn't supposed to do anything.
Right. We're going to delve into the mind of Ed Norton.
It'll be
and actually see if there's something going
exactly,
on in
yeah.
there.
It's the shallow end of the pool. But yeah, so that's where we want to go to. And I know that you brought up before we even started, and I think it's a great point. It's kind of like the economics of the four main characters, obviously.
Yes. That blue collar existence
right.
is so key.
Yeah.
You know, are they satisfied with it? Are they not? Ralph's always trying to hit the high note.
Right. It's some sort of scheme.
Yeah,
right.
Some kind of, like Alice says, some crazy harebrained scheme.
Right.
That never works out.
Never.
And he's still back to being the bus driver.
Yeah.
And so that is, their economic status has a lot to do with themes of the show and how they, now I grew up in a blue collar neighborhood, so I understand like what my dad did for a living, his friends did for a living. I understand they were the Nortons and Cramdons of the
right.
world.
And that's so what Gleason wanted. And that's what Gleason wanted to do. He wanted to appeal to the masses.
Yes.
Which makes sense. Mm-hmm. But he also was going with what he saw growing up in Brooklyn.
Right.
Seeing, even though he really didn't have a relationship with his father.
No, no.
Seeing all of the kids and just the people in his neighborhood. Just what they did, regular people doing regular things every single day.
You know, when he's growing up in Brooklyn, that ethnic diversity that you right. see in the neighborhood, especially back in the 30s when he's growing up. You know, you have the Irish and the Italians,
yeah.
you know, and Jewish, and mm-hmm. you know, that's what you get. So, and you see it in the show. Like, the character Mrs. Monicotti
right.
probably represents every Italian that he ever grew up with.
Yes.
Because a lot of the names he uses in the show are Irish.
And they also, and then they'll do Nat Birnbaum.
Yes, Nat Birnbaum.
They'll do a Mrs. Schwartz.
Mrs. Schwartz.
The Blabbermouth. Yes,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So they were like these characters that some of them were the characters you've seen and some of them you wouldn't see.
You wouldn't see.
Right. They were just people that you heard of.
Right.
And we'll get into that too.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But yeah, it's it is strange how, like you said, like all the things that they do, they bowl, right?
Right.
They play pool.
Pool.
Right.
They belong to that lodge.
The lodge, which, you know, well, all the, you know, all the crazy get-ups and their fees and the things that they got to do. Yeah. You know, real quick, the one episode when he's trying to get the money because, and he says, he needs his dues.
Right.
$15. And he goes, these are my pals, my buddies, my friends. They'll throw me out in front of him. He didn't get a big laugh.
No, it didn't, but it's...
It deserved a bigger laugh.
It did.
Because he's proclaiming the love that they have for him.
And they'll throw him out.
And they'll throw him out if he's 1 month behind. Just done. Take care, buddy. You know, and... There were a lot of that where you just didn't.
And it's kind of funny you bring that up because, like I said, I'm always looking in the background.
Right.
And every time there's a scene in the Raccoon Lodge, there's a chalkboard in the back. And it's always like members in arrears, dues in arrears, and his name is always on it.
Always on there. I always just see names, and you'll see certain names, and I know a couple of them are like guys for like the producers.
Philbin and Shore. You'll see those two names all the time.
Right. Yep. Yep, Philbin. I always would see Philbin in a line.
Sure.
With nine would it'll be
with a line through it. Somebody has a line through it, like they paid.
Right. Yes.
You're like you're off the board now. You came up with your $15.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was the key where you're watching them do all of the and that was the that and we were saying right before the show how you know we saw that Norton seemed very satisfied and very happy being
in
the sewer.
Being a sewer worker, he was. Satisfied, no aspiration. Right. Although the one time he does take the civil service test,
but it's sewer inspector.
It also has to do with sewer.
The sewer, right?
He'd be like a fish out of water if he wasn't working in the sewer.
Exactly. Two times they used that joke in the series. There were a couple times they repeated. There were like three jokes that they did two different times, which I don't care.
It doesn't matter.
No.
It was great all three times.
Yeah. Yes. And then we were like, well, the person that you maybe feel for the most would be Alice.
Yes.
Because her character was basically trapped with these four walls.
Yes.
And she really had, you know, she would try to, you know, better themselves or try to get some other things, and it would never work.
Because she looked like she had some kind of intelligence to her.
Yes.
That she shouldn't be there.
Right.
That she should be doing something for what women did in the 50s,
yeah,
you know, we got to go do, you know, because that's what it was.
Right.
But she should have been doing something, even if it were like when she said, when that one time she does go back to work for Tony.
Right.
She, you know, she took a stenography
typing.
So she could have been an office worker back in the day when they had typewriters. And,
right.
You know, and things like that and stenography. She could have did that.
And she definitely represented true feminism. And the true feminism was, hey, listen, I'm going to do what I want to do, whether it's cleaning the house or I'll go out and get a job. I love you, and it's about us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the thing was is that, and she was never afraid.
No.
You know, when he would blow his top, she was never afraid.
No,
because she
never afraid. Never. No. She would never. You would never think her to turn and run in the bedroom and lock the door on Ralph because she knew that Ralph was not laying one finger on her.
No, no.
She knew it because she would stand there like not even intimidated, like, you know, waiting for the big wind to blow over. You know.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
And to think she left a good job in the laundry for that.
It is. It's oddly enough, my wife has is a ginger, like a red haired also, right. And my wife doesn't even flinch. Like, I'll joke around with her. I'll be like, you know, like, pretend I'm going to, like, you know, not when we're arguing, but
right.
I'll be like, oh, you know, like, go at her, you know? Like, I'm going to, like, punch her or something. It's not even close.
No.
She doesn't even come close to it. But, and I think, look, obviously, Audrey Meadows made the character phenomenal because she was just so great.
Mm-hmm.
But she... And it just seemed that she was the backbone of their in their economics.
Oh, without a doubt.
He had to ask her how much money they have.
Yeah,
$12.83.
You know,
right.
You know, it's $75 and we're hanging around here grading interest. And she's also the logical one.
Yes.
You know, she just brings Ralph down to even the time when he finds the money.
Right.
Right away, she says.
She's like, wait a minute. Something's fishy going on here. Right.
When he's on the $99,000 answer, stop at $600.
Right.
Now think about that.
Now, I'll be honest. That was the only time that I felt that she didn't have, like, why wouldn't you at least really really try to get as much knowledge? Yeah,
exactly.
She was like, look, stupid, you're never going to be able to do this. Why don't you just take the $600 and go home? And that was the only time I felt that she wasn't behind him.
No.
Or her rationale wasn't correct.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you have to go for the $99,000, but at least, hey, you're going on a big game show. Might as well study up on it.
I mean, when you look at $600 compared to $99,000.
Right.
It's peanuts.
Yeah. Peanuts, peanuts. What am I going to do with peanuts?
Eat them like any other elephant.
But yeah, so there was that aspect of it. But he never seemed, and it just makes sense, because if you look at Ralph Cramden's, Ed Norton's demeanor, first of all, he was in good shape. Right.
Yeah.
His demeanor was a lot happier. Mm-hmm. You know, he never seemed to have any physical ailments except for sleepwalking.
Right.
And he was the sneezy when the dog's around.
Yeah.
But because he was happy.
Yeah. And he had all the toys of the day.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Ralph had nothing.
Right.
I mean, not even the TV. Ed had every head because I have 19 accounts going down there.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly.
So he had like all the little toys of the day.
Right. And he just always seemed happy. And Ralph was always, you know, he was always like ornery and miserable. And, you know, it showed in the character of being, you know, that kind of guy. So you just wonder, like, that is exactly why he was the way he was.
Yeah.
And it works out perfectly.
Yeah, because we know that they're economically, salary-wise,
basically the same,
because Alice says that Ed Norton makes the same amount of money you do, and we know that Ralph made $62 a week.
$62
a week. So Norton's got to be making around the same, living in the same apartment. They're paying the same rent.
Yeah.
Trixie doesn't work. Alice doesn't work.
Yeah.
But Norton has all his things. He has his toys of the day.
Yeah. You just wonder.
And amazing characters.
Whenever you hear about the money, because even though you were just born at the time, so you don't remember the late 50s, obviously.
No, I don't.
I was born in 69. So when I sit there and when they'll use certain things, like, you know, when it came with the money, the $100 bills, like, what was that worth? Like, what was 62? I would always think, like, $62 a week then, was he making $400 a week? I don't.
Well, you would probably equate it to basically what a bus driver makes today. Whatever it is, you can't put it like just a multiplier to that 62,
right?
So bus drivers make decent money.
I would assume, right?
To live like, you know, and they were just living that little, you know, in that little two room flat.
Yeah, yeah.
And
obviously they made it so it looked
look like that.
Yeah,
you know,
to make it look. Really, you know,
it brings around out the character of Ralph,
of course, right?
You know,
of being the poor soul, which is where he got the character from, right?
Which is one of his characters, right?
On his variety show.
Yep. The poor soul. Now, speaking of the variety show, when the Honeymooners first came out on the variety show, the character of Alice. This is now we're talking before Audrey Meadows. I forgot her name, Pert something. I can't remember it right now. She was kind of like a more haggy type person. And really more of that, really that blue collarish.
And a little bit more rough.
Yes.
But so was he.
Yeah.
He yelled a lot. Like, that's why I noticed in the Lost episodes, and I think that's why they were Lost episodes, because they were still like, you know, molding this show, these characters, because in the Lost episodes, he's screaming all the
time. At everything.
It loses its... it's just like anything else. If you do something, and if, you know, like...
It's the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah.
It's basically, if you keep on yelling, then the yelling doesn't become funny anymore.
It's just
the way it is.
It's just the way it is.
Well, you're speaking.
Right. And he'll have that little moment where he's like sweet or something, but when they really perfected it, he was just... kind of you know, regular guy, a little ornery.
Yes.
But then he'd have to get steamed to be yelling.
Yep.
And in the old episodes, he was just screaming. Screaming the whole
constantly.
And that's probably why those episodes, they were what they were.
That's why they're the lost episodes.
Exactly. That's why they're not the original 39 that were put out on CBS in 1955. Yeah, I think it was 55.
55, the October 1, I believe, is the October 1, 55, I believe, is the first episode.
First
I could
one.
Be wrong, but on the day, but I think it's, I believe it's October of 55.
Yeah.
Episode
and
1.
The Christmas one actually fell on Christmas Eve.
Did it? That's why I didn't know
that. Yep, it was, it was shown on Christmas Eve. 2055.
Now, I remember when I first started watching them, and speaking of the Christmas one, they never came out at the end when they came out of character through
The curtains?
The curtains, yeah.
Right.
That kind of was added towards towards more recent showings of the episodes. I don't ever remember that, seeing that.
Oh,
when
you
I
mean...
first when I first started watching them, it was just cut out. It was just cut out.
Oh.
And they started adding it again towards... You know, more recently.
Right.
You see that, them coming out of character.
Right. Well, they only did it the one time.
That one time.
But so they used it, like, not even show
that. Not even show it.
Really?
Yeah. Not even show it.
And for anybody, it's the Christmas episode where when the show ends, he's like, well, wait a minute. And he opens up the curtains and he's like, I'd like, you know, the Mr. Cramden and the Nortons to wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Because he even says, we never come out of character.
Right. Character. He even says it a little different. Like, all of a sudden, he's not crammed in anymore. He's Gleason.
He's Gleason.
You know, because he just, you know, he's like, yeah, we usually don't step out of character. He's almost like, he sounds regal.
Yeah.
He sounds like a regal who, you know, a regal guy who hasn't gone out drinking yet and womanizing for the evening.
Go over to Toots George, yeah.
Yeah. So, I love the economic aspect of it because... I mean, it's basically what even though the whole thing is just based on friendship and love. It's friendship and love, but the driving force behind it is that wanting to hit the high note, so to speak. You know, the big score. And obviously, and let me tell you something. When she goes through all the different things that he failed on, you know, all his bad ideas.
Yeah, right.
To do away with lights, wallpaper that glows in the dark. That is brilliant.
Brilliant, yeah.
Brilliant.
Uranium.
First of all, I'm sitting here going, that might not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
Because once it's dark, it's not going to be on when it's day.
No Cal pizza.
I want to know if there's like no Cal. I want no Cal pizza, all right? I will take the no Cal pizza. I wish he would have came up with no Cal pizza. But yeah, so it's, I always love. See, I'm a dates guy, all right? I'm one of those where if you said, well, when did this movie come out, I'll tell you the year. I used to, when I was a kid, I learned by myself how to read Roman numerals.
Okay.
Because at the end of TV shows and movies, I wanted to know, I needed to know when it was made. So I learned just by reading that. And so that's why.
We had to learn them. I went to Catholic school. So I knew Roman numerals.
You had to learn it.
We had to learn them.
I learned who Pontius Pilate was, and I know what M stands for, all right? It's fun to watch the anytime there's any sorts of number thing, whether it's the five, think about it, the amount of money it cost for the costumes. For $5, I can go for with Billy the Kid.
Billy the Kid.
Right.
Now, think about that. $10. He wants to go as King Henry VIII.
Right.
Okay. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That is a lot of money.
To win 50.
So
if he's making $62 a week, he's talking about almost making your weekly paycheck.
Yeah. You know, that's 1/6 of your total salary.
Exactly. And he was such a piece of garbage. He actually went to go and borrow it from Ed.
Right.
And then when he ended up already having it, he thought he stole his idea from it. Which is ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
But I was always thinking of, like, when they would play a nickel a ball.
Yeah.
When they were playing pool.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you know, Because he would always say, let's go back to penny, a ball.
You owe me 19 cents.
Yeah.
I think when they were playing cards or
something.
Playing
cards, gin. Gin. Like it's 14,000 and a point. You owe me 19 cents.
We're not done yet. I don't know. You know, and he didn't want to pay him the 19 cents.
He didn't want to pay him the 19 cents. The worst friend ever. But yeah, I was always just trying to, because they never taught, I don't think they mentioned like, when she would go get sauerkraut or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't think they meant... No, but they did. They did the...
Well, the one thing was the butter when he was trying to get the ring off his fingers.
Right.
At 89 cents a pound?
Right. Right. And I don't know if they went by numbers or did they just go by what... Because comedically, there are certain sounds and certain numbers that are better.
Right.
They work better, so they might have just went, at 89 cents a pound?
It just comes out well. It sounds good.
It worked because it's hilarious.
Yes.
But then there was also the chopped meat.
Chopped meat,
chopped meat was 58 cents a pound.
58 cents a pound, sweetie pie.
Right. So it's like, 58 cents a pound, that actually sounds very expensive.
It does.
For then?
Yeah, for then.
It is wacky. It really is.
Even the one where, in the Arterial Monochromia one, when Alice says to, talking to Trixie about the doctor, she had to take the Ginger, the dog, her mother's dog, to the doctor.
Yep.
He said, she goes, you know how much it cost? $10. Think about that.
She goes, $10 for a dog?
$10 back then.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I just went and when I go get my dog and we went and we just did something. My dog Gleason, by the way, my corgi, he's on Instagram. I can't believe my dog has an Instagram account.
I don't even have one.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only reason I ended up getting one. I'm like, my wife made one for him, and he had all these people started following him. I'm like, my dog's not going to have an Instagram account, and I'm not going to, all right? That's it. But, so you just, I was trying to think, like, $10, but you know what? I went to go get my dog, and they just had to go get gave him, like, one shot or something, and it was $250.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they clipped his nails. $250 for a dog?
For a dog, yeah. Think about it.
Yeah.
Because she says Ralph only went to the doctor and only cost him $3.
$3, yeah.
Stuff is great.
Yeah.
Stuff is
great. All right. Well, I think you know what? We got a little bit into the economics of it
today. Yeah, I think
today.
We did. I think we covered it pretty well.
Yeah, you know,
when you're talking about it, like, you know, of course the people in the neighborhood are basically doing the same jobs. Like one guy works at the brewery and who's this and who's that. And
yeah,
that's
the
Drebin's the Undertaker.
The Undertaker, yeah.
And that's what they do.
Yeah.
That's what they did.
Yep.
And it's amazing. Amazing that the economics has so much to do with the show.
With the show, yeah.
And but I think about it, though.
I never thought of that until you told me.
When you think about it, when they're bowling or they're at the lodge, or they're shooting pool, they're always doing something.
Yes. They weren't scrolling Facebook back then.
No, they were in their house and they're out.
Yeah.
So basically their wives are by themselves, and I guess they did their things together. Like Alice was always going to the movies, catching a movie. Well, she had to have
TV.
She had
no TV.
No choice. She had to go to a movie.
Yeah, she couldn't use the radio because he used it for his costume.
So that's what they did. You know, and it seems too also that, you know, Alice and Trixie are fine with it. Because that's what the men did.
Yeah.
It's what the men did.
Yeah. And I don't think they wanted them to or at least the creators or Gleason wanted to wives to, and I'm guessing, to come off like whiny. Just strong. Because you know what? They were both strong women.
They were.
They just chose to, you know, back then it was the 50s and they just chose, hey, you know what? This is what I do.
This is what I do.
But I'm not taking crap from my husband.
Nope.
And, you know, if I want to go out to the movies, I'm going to the movies.
Because Trixie liked it or lumped it.
And she lumped it. All right. All right. That's it for our second episode. I hope you liked it. Yes, that's right. I forgot. We have the trivia question from last week. And we will give you the answer and remind everybody what the trivia question was from last week.
Okay, last week's, our first episode's trivia question was, what was Uncle Leo's wife's name? Now, me and Joe figured we have three levels here. That's kind of a level two, we would say.
Level,
Two or three. Level one is very easy. This is level two or three. So the answer is Sarah.
Sarah. But the interesting thing is that he flubbed the name when he said it.
Yes. Because Sarah loved to have you come up to Utica.
We're in Sarah. Somehow Sarah became four syllables when he said it. Somehow me and Sahara. Yeah, she's a little bit dry. Yeah, but he said that in my oh aching back when he starts smacking him on the back saying, it's good to see you. But he says, me and Sarah would love to have you come up to Utica.
And me and Joe figured out that it would take to get from Brooklyn to Utica back in 1955, about 6 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Stopping for gas every
you
know, every
throughway.
Yes. Just driving in between trees like a slalom, you know?
And leaving at 8 o'clock at night.
Some things
weren't meant to be delve into that much, but that's what we do.
All right.
Okay, so this week's trivia, we're gonna call this a level three.
Oh, this is
look at their level three.
Okay.
What was Ralph's blood type?
Very good. Very good.
So ponder that one.
All right.
Until our next show.
All right, raccoons. And I don't know, what can we call them besides just fellow raccoons?
I don't know. I got to think of it.
You know, I'm trying to be a little wacky and corny. Be like, hello, raccoons and raccoonettes or something. I don't know. But until next time, keep checking out the show. Take the show. And if you're on iTunes, give us a review, put a 5 stars, and share it with people that you know love the show, who love the Honeymooners. And that's about it. And also for me, since I do my other show, I am also a comedian, but if you want to check out my other show, it's more of a radio show / podcast. It's called The Conti and Kenny Show. And we go live every Monday night at 7 o'clock on morelikeradio.com. Look up Conti and Kenny. Anything on me on social media is Joe Conti Comedian. And Louie has nothing.
Nothing. I watched The Price is Right during the day.
If you want to catch Louie, he'll be walking around in a mall with maybe just trying to catch a little bit of, you know, because instead of going out and walking around.
By the way, malls
are
very empty today.
Oh, man. But all right. Well, thank you for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
We'll have to do this again real soon.
How about tomorrow night?
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.